Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
Not a he, it's a she. I'm talking about Jackie Sunshine Smith. Of course, Sunshine Boxing, she's been around for a while. I don't want to say how long, but her and I go back a few years. Bottom line is she's come to us from Atlanta, GA. What's up, Miss Jackie?
Doing fine down here, Pedro. We have the NBA All-Star Game going on. I won't even watch it because I'm not a basketball fan, but it's bringing a lot of people here that we don't need.
Okay, good point. You promoted the that fight between Evander Holyfield and Vaughn Bean. Are you involved in that promotion with Don King? What year was that at the Omni?
Oh, gosh.
About 2000?
I think it was in the 80s.
No,
in the 80s. I don't remember my year now. It's been so many fights.
Okay.
It must have been sometime in the 90s. I know I quit my job at Delta Airlines to take the promotional job.
Okay. Yeah, so speaking of, let's talk about your background. Grambling State University, what'd you major in?
Business Administration Management with a minor in Human Resources.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. So how did you get involved in boxing? I mean, I don't want to say you're an icon, but you're the gender bender in the world of boxing as far as journalists are concerned. And women, I mean, come on, you sort of stepped up before all the other chicks.
Well, I had an inside track with Don King as my mentor. So when you start at the top, you meet everyone at the top, and then you meet everyone else. So I think that gave me an advantage getting into the business. But I started by watching Gillette Friday night fights in the 60s with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I was boxing in the neighborhood, beating up the boys mainly. I was the neighborhood champ. We put on shows in a neighbor's backyard with four Coca-Cola crates and a rope tied between them for our ring and charged 5 cents to get in. We did that for a while, and then eventually I grew up, went to college, came to Atlanta, and that's where I met Don King for the Tubbs Witherspoon fight.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing public relations at that time, and Don invited me to Vegas for the Making of a Champion, which was Mike Tyson's first title fight. So after that, he just took me on and taught me things that some of the guys in Atlanta taught me lessons, too. I'll give you that much. You could always learn from people in boxing.
Okay. So the 5 cents to get in to watch the fights, did you charge them like 3 cents to look through a hole in the fence like pay-per-view?
No, but you know what? The neighbors' yards on both sides, they couldn't have access to it, so otherwise they could just stand there and watch us anyway.
Don King. Now, you and I have fond thoughts of Don King, and we've had some good times and some bad times with him. Let's be honest with everybody. There's been good times and bad times with him. And we watched him evolve. I mean, he was bigger than life. He just was. I mean, anywhere we went, outside of Muhammad Ali and people like that, and maybe Mike Tyson in boxing, Don King would stop traffic.
Yeah, and I remember him before the jewelry.
before the bling?
Yes, it's funny.
Okay, I remember in 1974, I saw this guy on television with his hair, and he was promoting this Rumble in the Jungle, and they're talking about this fight's going to be on closed-circuit television, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and all this kind of stuff, and George Foreman was from my gym from here. We both started in the same gym, basically, in San Francisco. Actually, I started in the boys' club, but I graduated Newman's gym later in life. But I watched him in 1967. My father told me he was a bully. I said, Dad, why is he a bully? He goes, look, he's beating up on guys so much smaller than him. Because George has sparring partners that were built like me.
Oh, my goodness.
And you see how big that dude was.
Well, wasn't that the average size of a heavyweight back in the day?
No. Are you trying to say? I used to say this. Remember, I used to say in the old days that a Mexican heavyweight was a fat middleweight. But no, George was a bully. George, listen, when George used to pound on those dudes in the gym, we used to sit there and you could, listen, he's thudding these guys. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's hitting these guys really hard and you felt sorry. You get $5 a round wasn't enough.
Well, he admitted that he was a bully.
Well, and all the positive stuff about George. Well, I will say one more thing about George before we move on. When he made that dog jump off that balcony to its death, when he bet somebody the dog would follow his orders and jump off that balcony, jump off that table onto his death, that to me, that was sort of like, I talked to him about that one time. Who told you? He didn't deny it. He never denied it. Who told you that?
Wow. Yeah. One of his German shepherds, because he loved those German shepherds.
Yeah, one of his German shepherds. Another thing, and the only one that had German shepherds in Africa were the slave masters. So then George brought a couple of German shepherds with him.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. But he still breeds those German Shepherd dogs.
Yeah, I know that. But enough of the dogs. Being the gender mender and promoting boxing, it's been rough. It's been rough at certain times, I'm pretty sure. What was the toughest thing you've had to face as being a woman?
The first time someone called me a bitch in the boxing gym. And he said it so loud that his voice vibrated off the wall. And you know how noisy it is in a boxing gym, and everyone's hitting the bags and sparring. It was two rings. We were out at the Doraville Boxing Gym. And I'll never forget it because, you know, up until then, everyone had been pretty decent with me, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would come in after work in my high heels, stockings, and two-piece suits. You know, because I was an employment interviewer, so I would come in every day and deal with my fighter. I had a heavyweight at the time that this guy was training. And then he got angry, and he called me the bitch. And then at that moment, I stood there in the gym, and everyone was looking at me. And I thought, oh, my God, if I don't do anything about this, they would never respect me again. So I looked him in the eye, and I told him, bitch, B-I-T-C-H, being in total control of herself, and you just can't stand it, you faggot.
Ooh,
true enough, he was gay.
But that doesn't matter. Wait. This is live radio.
I mean, no offense for gay people.
No offense. You just don't say that on the radio, Jackie.
I forgot.
You just don't say that.
That's what I forgot. That's what I told him. Because after that we were okay. He continued to train my fighter. We took him to a fight down in Florida on HBO on the Roy Jones undercard, and the guy won the fight. Then I got rid of him.
Okay. What about the Vietnamese Boxing Federation? What's this tie you have with the Vietnamese? Now you know I love my Vietnamese food here in the city, man. But the best Vietnamese food I've ever found in the country was in Lawton, Oklahoma.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, is that weird or what?
I know. Now, we have several great Vietnamese restaurants here, but how did I get involved? Oh, I met a friend in Dubai who happened to have she was Vietnamese, but she lived in Dubai with her husband, and she invited me to come to Vietnam, and initially, I was like, no, because I only travel if it's boxing business. She said, okay, my friend is in charge of the amateurs. I said, but I'm in pro, and unless they're doing pro. So eventually, I went over within a year, met with some people, and we started getting involved with trying to legalize boxing, professional boxing in Vietnam. That eventually happened. And then I started working with the Vietnam Boxing Federation to get them affiliated with sanctioning bodies like the WBO, IBF, to get their fighters going from amateur into professional boxing. So they're still, you know, haven't really progressed at the speed I wanted to, but they're doing well. They are having some professional boxing, but of course the pandemic set everyone back because my partner is there and we had planned a show for May.
Okay.
Matter of fact, to honor Sugar Ray Leonard, and everything was canceled for 2020. Okay. So eventually we'll get back to business and start putting on shows again, large shows, because this was an 11,000-seat Oceanside venue.
Well, I'll say this. I spent 8 days in Dubai, and it was hell. I didn't want to talk about it. I was in the hospital twice. Dubai was hell. Now let's talk about this speech you're supposed to make. Tell me about it. I mean, people in the boxing world saying, Jackie's doing what?
Well, tomorrow, March 8th, is International Women's Day. So I had been a USA delegate for several years for the African Renaissance in South Africa. I've been asked to speak on their International Women's Day program in KwaZulu-Natal, the premier's office, which is similar to a governor here, basically equivalent to a governor. So the governor's office of KwaZulu-Natal, that's metro city would probably be Durban, the largest one, Pietermaritzburg, the capital of KwaZulu-Natal. Mm-hmm. And I will be speaking on how women can support each other during the pandemic. And, mm-hmm. of course, I'll use boxing analogy.
Well, as well you always do. I want to give you props, girl. I mean, the degree, the fact that you've such a standing figure in boxing, and of course in the world at large. And Don King tells me the girl's smart. That's what he told me one time. The girl's smart. So if you've got Don King backing you up like that, thinking that you're pretty smart, you must be brilliant. Anyway, I wish you well. Good luck in your speech, and we'll talk real soon, Princess.
All right, you have to beat me. You forget I'm in boxing. You know, we forget sometimes.
Yeah, don't forget the FCC, the Federal Communications. Talk to you soon, Princess. Jackie
All right,
Smith.
I love you.
Jackie
Bye-bye.
Smith on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC TV. Next, we take it to the UK and Kenny Rainford.